Red Eye is a program of alternative politics and culture which broadcasts live from 9 until noon every Saturday morning on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM and around the world at cooperadio.org. Here is Mordecai Breenberg.
According to mainstream mythology, BC politics oscillates from extreme right to extreme left and back again. For progressives in BC, it's hard to imagine who exactly is this extreme left. Indeed, it's hard to point to provincial government that has been just plain left. To numerous progressives, the BC electoral choices on offer today seem much less than obvious alternatives. People wrestle with themselves how to vote. Will Offley, a longtime trade union and political activist, is a member of a new grouping called Left Turn, and he's joined me on the phone from his home in Vancouver to explain their perspective. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Mordecai.
What specific political circumstances prompted you to work on the Left Turn project?
Well, a number of us got together over a year ago, and what with the fact that the date of the upcoming election was known back then, figured the problem with BC politics over the last number of decades, when it comes to provincial elections, has been that there is a spectrum, and it ranges all the way from Margaret Thatcher to Tony Blair, and part of the problem is trying to create an alternative positive vision that sort of elaborates some politics that that actually is a left alternative, and the hope with this project was to be able to begin that process.
One of the new parties on the scene has been the Green Party. Why is that not an alternative?
Well, I think I was actually a couple of days ago just rereading our 2001 Green paper, which is still up on the web, and I was actually quite struck that there is quite a lot of good material in there. Certainly, they've written the book in terms of environmental programs and policies, and there's a lot in there I think that deserves support. As far as the Greens go, there's one fundamental weakness that's central, I think, to their political approach, and that's right in the first paragraph on sustaining BC's economy, where they say the Green Party of BC believes that government has a role in nurturing a healthy economy and ensuring the sustainable economic use of public resources. Government should not otherwise unduly interfere in the free enterprise system. That puts them in a real quandary, because if you look at a lot of their platform, it's absolutely, because it's in a full support of preserving the ecosphere, which is a rather central question for all of us, it puts them in direct conflict with the agenda of the multinational corporations and neoliberalism. And so it's untenable. They have some very good stuff in there, but it's embodied and coupled with a concept of support for free enterprise that absolutely will render it incapable of being implemented.
How does Left Turn then differ from the socialist alternatives that several small left parties claim to offer each election? I mean, there have been such parties running candidates every election.
Well, I haven't seen the Communist Party's program yet. I haven't seen CPCML's program yet. Undoubtedly, there will be other groups as well sort of running. And my guess would be, just based on past performances, there will be a considerable overlap on a number of important political questions programmatically between what we have been able to develop and what they will be putting forward. And the question is more, what prompted us to look at starting this project was looking at some of the examples in Europe, particularly that of the Scottish Socialist Party, where you had coming together virtually all of the organizations of the Scottish far left, and admitted there are huge distinctions between here and there, so we can't just sort of copy their experience mechanically, because it wouldn't be valid. But the lesson that that came out of that is that by merging their efforts, by pulling together a common organization and a common programmatic framework, they basically have become a force within Scottish politics. The last election, they polled 148,000 votes. When they have a convention nationally, it's like 500 delegates that show up. They have roots in just communities large and small, all across Scotland. Now, this is obviously way beyond what's what we can expect to see happen here. But, I mean, the point is everything has a beginning, and we're hoping that that through this process can be started in terms of looking at what ways those on the left that are actually sort of seriously interested in building a common organization, building a common front, can find ways of working together.
There are people who are fed up with the NDP, but they still worry more that challenging it only will help the Liberals. How do you respond to that concern?
Well, there's two levels. Well, there's a number of levels, actually. I'll pick on a couple. One of them, like our choice of writing, we've decided to run a candidate in Vancouver Hastings. Basically, the NDP, in the depths of their deepest doldrums in 2001, still won Vancouver Hastings when they lost everything else except one other riding. So, I mean, the NDP will win in Vancouver Hastings, so it's not a factor there in terms of jeopardizing the possibility they're going to be elected. But second, I mean, the NDP is faced with a problem with the rise in the support for the Green Party, which is back up over 10% now, which I haven't seen all the detail math, but I mean poses a possibility that running head to head, the Green Party vote might mean the NDP might not win in a number of ridings. But the NDP itself has a responsibility in that, because they have consistently refused to come to any sort of accommodation with the Greens in terms of sort of trading ridings or being willing to stand aside. So there's a more cooperative approach there. So they can evade the responsibility in that. Because otherwise, they impose a framework that they, and only they, have the right to present an electoral alternative to people in British Columbia. And I think that's a rather arrogant approach.
What's been the response to left turn among progressive people in BC?
Well, it hasn't been as overwhelming to date as we would have liked. We've just sort of come out of quite a long period of elaboration of a programmatic text, which has taken us the better part of the last 9 months or so. We had hoped, at least certainly I personally had hoped, that more people would have been involved in that, but we're now going into sort of the immediate pre-election period that the campaigns are really going to be beginning, and I think that I'm quite hopeful that we will be able to get more people involved and out sort of fighting for the politics that really need to be addressed this time around.
And what would you highlight from that programmatic program, I guess, that you're presenting to people now?
Well, a bunch of things. One of them is, we don't see the program as being confined to the framework of an election itself, and particularly this is true in regards to the invasion and occupation of Iraq. We don't think this election is too important to be left to provincial issues alone, and that in very many real respects, the war in Iraq can be brought into this election campaign in a very immediate sort of way, beyond just rhetoric.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Well, one of the things that that's turned up during the course of our preparation of the program is the BC Investment Management Corporation, which holds and does the investments for the four major the municipal pension plan, the college pension plan, the public service pension plan, and the teachers pension plan, which covers 350,000 public service employees in the province, has investments in companies contracting with the Pentagon or producing war materials of over $4.5 billion, and this includes things like Lockheed, like Boeing, like manufacturers of cluster bombs, like manufacturers of landmines, rockets, ammunition, etc. And that one of the very real ways that this the issue of breaking any support for the war can be fought for is in terms of the whole question of divesting of these stocks, which would be more than a purely symbolic thing.
Now, one of the other issues which is on a separate ballot for BC voters is the question of the electoral system itself. And the left turn is committed to democratization of all areas of life, and the electoral system would be one of those. Has left turn adopted a stance towards the ballot on the single transferable vote?
Our feeling on the STV is that it's well meant, but it's not going to actually answer the question of democracy that needs to be posed. That is, like, of course, we're in favor of proportional representation. Personally, I would favor MMP, multi-member proportional representation, rather than STV. But the fundamental question has to be seen from the standpoint of elections currently, in the sort of times we live in, are basically bought and sold. That you cannot even sort of conceive of a democratic society as long as it's possible for corporations to determine the outcome of them in terms of electoral contributions. To have a gender democratic society, you would need to ban corporate contributions. You would need to put ceilings on election contributions. You would need to open the media up so all candidates had equal access to the media. There would be a whole series of fundamental structural changes that would need to be made. And even that is just in terms of the election process. I mean, you still have the problem of what happens when you get a progressive government elected, when the real power still resides in the corporations that are running the economy. And how do you challenge that in order to be able to impose democratic decisions?
People look to elections and candidates in elections trying to assess their history, their integrity, and the confidence they can have not only in a program as outlined, but in the person who's advocating that program. Has Left Turn chosen a candidate yet for the Vancouver-Hastings riding?
No, we're probably going to be doing that within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Well, we have to do that within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Part of the thing is, despite the fact that we're running in an election, the most important point, particularly for the audience that listens to Red Eye, has to be that, what is fundamentally important is not this election, but what happens during it, what happens after it. What is important is, and what we're trying to be sort of figuring out, is how we can use this campaign to link up with actual struggles that are taking place, whether it's fare strikes like that organized by the Bus Riders Union, whether it's the possibility of action on the docks around the security certificates, struggles and things like that are taking place, to sort of give voice to them, give support to them, and make sure that those come into the electoral arena as well.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Will, and I'll give contact information for people to get in touch with Left Turn. Thanks again.
Thanks very much, Martin.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Will Offley about the political grouping Left Turn, and if you'd like to find out more and to participate in their discussion, here's both a phone number and an email contact. The phone number, 604-773-8393. Or you can email contact@leftturn.ca.
You've been listening to Red Eye, a program produced by an alternative media collective in Vancouver, Canada. Red Eye broadcasts live every Saturday morning from 9 until noon and can be heard around the world at cooperadio.org.